Beis Hashem, today's daf, Maseches Sotah, daf Tezayin, we will be picking up from daf Tezvav Amud Beis, and what we will do is review one Gemara that we had concluded with on daf Tezvav. The Gemara had told us that they're based on the Mishnah, that the Afar, the earth, that the Torah tells us, is supposed to be put into the Kli Cheres, as the Torah describes in Parshas Naso for the Sota. This is Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin B'Kli Cheres. U'min ha'afar ashiyeh b'karka mishkan. And there's supposed to be earth to be taken from the earth of the Mishkan. Yinkach ha'koyim v'nosan al ha'moyim. So says the Gemara, seven lines to the bottom, a Gemara that we saw briefly yesterday. Tan rabbanu min ha'afar ashiyeh yachol yisakim v'chutz v'yachnis. I would have a hava mina, says the Gemara, that you should bring in dirt into the Mishkan. Tamalomar bikarka Mishkan. So the Torah tells us, no, it's supposed to be dirt from the Mishkan itself. I bikarka Mishkan, and we learned in the Mishnah that this karka was actually on the right side of the Heichal, that the Kohen would turn when he would come into the Heichal. There was a tile which was able to be loosened and raised, and under it was dirt that could be used for the Mesota. I would think that if it's hard to get loose dirt, that one should actually dig up the dirt. That whatever is there, if there's dirt, so then in such a case, take from it. And if there isn't dirt, so then in such a case, then bring dirt there and put it inside. Now the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, will quote a brisa that disagrees and takes a different approach. Tanya Idach, we learned another brisa. Umina afar sheyeh, melameh shayim esakim mibachutz, umachnis bekarka hamishkan. Acceptable, according to this opinion of the brisa, that for one to bring in melameh shayim esakim mibachutz, umachnis bekarka hamishkan, it's acceptable to bring from the outside and put it into the Mishkan. In other words, the only hakpada is that it comes from inside the Heichal. And you don't need to put it on the ground of the Heichal. U'mina afra asher yiyeh, the fact that it does not say, explains Rashi, mikarka ha-mishkan, indicates that and as long as it was in the Heichal, it's going to be okay. That's the first opinion of the Braisa. The second opinion is Isi ben Yehuda Omer Lahavi Karka Shilo No Vigivon Ubeis Olamim. Isi ben Yehuda holds that the Pasuk is coming to tell us something else when the Pasuk goes out of its way to say Asheyeh Bekarka HaMishkan, that the first Tana had learned that it was trying to emphasize the fact that it doesn't say Mikarka HaMishkan to tell you Misag Mechutz Machnes Bekarka is acceptable. Isa Ben Yehuda tells us something else. Isa Ben Yehuda Omer Lahavi Karka Shilo No V'Givon Ubeis Olamim. First girsa we're going to go with is the one that's in front of us, of course, and that is that it's coming to tell us that this process of bringing from the offer of the Mishkan does not only apply in the Mishkan, but also the emphasis of the extra part of the pasuk, Asheyiyeh Bekarka, is coming to emphasize that it's not only the Mishkan, but as well in Shilo, Nov, Givon, and the Beis HaMikdash, which was in Yerushalayim, that there is the dirt that is taken from there, again, from being meaning different things for different Tanaim, but whatever that would mean, that it would apply there as well. Rashi actually changes the girsa in our Gemara, and says that Shilo, Nov, and Givon are not mentioned in our Gemara. And the reason for that, and according to Rashi, the Chidush would be that not only in the Mishkan was it brought from the Afar, as well as in the Migdash and the Beis Olamim. However, Rashi points out, you cannot have, as in front of us, Shilo, Nov, and Givon, because of a Gemara in Zvachim HaKuf Yudzayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there says that the only Karbanos that were brought in Nov and Givon, the traveling Mishkan that existed before Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, were those that qualified as a Chovas HaTzibur. The Lashon
of the Gemara over there is v'lo karvan bahen lo shum chovas yachid she'ein la zman kavua. Personal chiyuv in such a case that does not have a particular zman was not brought. Hence, a mincha sota falls into that category. It doesn't have a zman kavua, and therefore the opinion of Rashi is that was not brought. Tosos concedes Rashi's pshat halfway. He says that Rashi is correct, that there is a man damer and zvach that way. However, Tosos says, why are you changing the gears? At the end of the day, there is an opinion. This is Tosos on Tezayinam and Alf Dimar Maskel Rabos. He says that there is opinion that disagrees with the one that Rashi had quoted over there. There are different opinions over there in the Gemara. And over there, there's another opinion. Kol shat sibur v'ayochin makrivim bo'al mo'ed shebemidbar, makrivim bo'al mo'ed shebegilgal. All the karbanos sibur and yochin were brought. So there are two different opinions. Be'ezer Hashem, when we do zachim, we could try to get to the bottom of which opinion we follow. At the end of the day, Tosa says it's not too difficult to say that Isi ben Yehuda was going according to that opinion. Hence, according to Tosis, the Gersa would retain Shilo, Nov, Givon, and Beis HaOlamim. The Braisa continues. There's another opinion of what the Pasuk over here that we had quoted that had said, Mina Ofra Asher Yiyah, what that Pasuk is bringing out. Isi ben Menachem Oimer Ein Atzarech. Isi ben Menachem says, you need a Pasuk to tell us that the Halacha of the Mishkan is going to apply to the Migdash as well when it comes to Mincha Saita. Ein etzarech, two lines from the top, Isi ben Menachem claims. Uma betum akala lo chilek akosa betum eshes ish hamura lo kol shekein. Says Isi ben Menachem, when it comes to the tum akala, what is tum akala? Rashi explains that it's someone who is tame. He's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. And there's no differentiation between Migdash and Mishkan. The Gemara learns out in Shavuot and Daf Tezayin and Beis that we don't differentiate between the two, because when Parshas Paraduma it says ki es migdash Hashem tame es mishkan Hashem tame. In other words, the two are interchangeable. So if we say mishkan and migdash are interchangeable when it comes to coming into the guf, into the migdash tame, certainly that's called a tumah kala. Why? Because there the punishment is kares. However, when it comes to tumah chamura, what's tumah chamura? Eisha shezinsa, where the onesh is going to be misa, with tumas eishes ish chamura lo kol shekein, certainly the halacha would be that the same applies, and the process that takes place to deal with tumah chamura of eishes ish zinsa will certainly apply when it comes to migdash, just like it does in regards to mishkan. Im kein matal melomer bekarkal mishkan, then what is the Torah coming to tell us when it says karka mishkan? Coming to tell us shelo yavi mitoch kupaso, not to bring from inside a utensil. What does that mean? Rashi explains that you cannot simply, according to Isa ben Menachem, bring in dirt from the outside and say, oh, it was in the heichal, then it's enough. But rather, bikarka means that you've got to put it down on that amal. And then, once it's been connected, it assumes the identity of Karka Mishkan, and then it's going to be used. You don't dig in the actual ground of the Migdash, but at the same time, it has to be what one would call colloquially Mechuba la Karka. It has to be connected to the Karka, and then, after you bring in that extra dirt from the outside and you put it on the Karka, then in such a case, it could be used for the Minchas Knos of the Sota. One point before we go on to the next Gemara, Isi ben Menachem's Kal V'Chomer is very striking. His Kal V'Chomer was, when you have a Tuma Kala, when it comes to walking into the Beis HaMikdash Tameh, there's no distinction between Mishkan and Mikdash. Certainly, when it comes to the Tuma of Sota, Eishes Ish Chamura, certainly there's going to be no distinction between the two. What's striking about it is that the Gemara is calling Eishes Ish real Tuma. We're really equating it to the halachos of Tuma of coming into the Migdash. Almost as if, again, emphasis on almost, it's as if this Eishes Ish walking into the Beis HaMikdash, the alleged Eishes Ish, so then there was something inherently flawed in that that's called an Eishes Ish Chamura. But it seems that what the Gemara is saying, even though we don't know of halachos of Tumas Eishes Ish, that the Gemara is actually calling the status of an Eishes Ish Shezinsa as being the status of Tuma. If that's so, if we present it this way, just in terms of Pshat,
Maybe we can answer a technical question, maybe something to think about, I'm not sure, just thinking aloud with the Talmidim, that raised by the Mincha Chadasha. The Mincha Chadasha asks the following question. He says, the Gemara in Erevin seems to reject Isi ben Menachem's approach of making Kal v'chomers from Tumah Kala to Tumah Chamura. And he points out that the halacha is that someone who takes in the Tamei Sheretz to the Migdash is Chayiv a Karmichatis B'shogeg, but if he took the Sheretz himself, the halacha is that it is Pater. All of that is brought out in the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Kuvdalet on the base. If that's so, he says, we see that the whole idea of making a Kal v'chomer, Tumah Kala, Tumah Chamura, is not true. Because if we would make a Kal v'chomer, then we would say that the halacha is that if someone who brings in something that was Tamei l'sheretz, the Migdash, certainly taking the Sheretz itself, the dead Sheretz itself, into the Migdash, certainly should be Chayiv. Yet, the halacha is the opposite. So says the Mincha Chadash, I don't understand how you can make a Kal v'chomer in this process. Because at the end of the day, we would made a Kal v'chomer, Tumah Kala, Tumah Chamura, that is not relevant as we see when it comes to being Machnes Tamei Sheretz, L'migdash B'shogeg, that is going to be Chayiv Chatas. Maybe we could suggest, based on our observation and Pshat in the Gemara, that we pointed out that this in of itself is a fascinating equation. We're equating a Tumah Kala of walking into the Migdash with a Tumah of Eishes Ish. What's a Tumah of Eishes Ish? Well, we know if it's an Eishes Ish that was Nensa, and if she was raped, in such a case, that wouldn't be a Tumah. The Torah Rei tells us, Ulanara lo sasa davar. But rather, as the Chuvas Ma'arik explains, the chomer, the tragedy, the devastation of Eishes Ish Zinsa is umal of amal, that she trespassed her husband, that she violated the trust of marriage. If that's so, so then what we're doing is we're equating the idea of Tumah, of having Tumah going into the Migdash, there's nothing more sanctified than the marriage, and therefore that's Tumah Sheishas Ish, to the point that we erase the Shem Hashem, that's going to be the Kal v'chomer. If that's so, maybe one could argue that whenever we're talking about Shogeg, so then in such a case, there are different rules. There we're not talking about the trespass of itself. And hence, it could be that in this instance it's going to be different, because clearly the Tumah Sheishas Ish Chamura all stems from the idea of Mala V'Mo'al, as is described in the Chuvas Ma'arik, which we will come back to, Amir Tashem, later on in the Halacha section. The Gemara follows up the different shitas of Isi ben Menachem and Isi ben Yehuda with ostensibly a shaila that's not relevant, but then the Gemara connects to the machlokas between Isi ben Yehuda and Isi ben Menachem. Five lines from the top. Iboy Elohu, Ein Sham Ofer. If there isn't any dirt in the Mishkan, Ma'u Shiyitein Efer. Ofer with an ayin is dirt. Efer is ash. In other words, the product of something that was burnt. Aliba de Beis Shammai lo tibarlach. According to Beis Shammai, there's no question. The Amri lo matzinu Efer shekori Ofer. That Beis Shammai points out that Efer is never called Ofer. Where is Beis Shammai? So in the Gemara in Chulin on Chesam Abeis, we have the sugya of Kisui Hadam, and over there, Beis Shammai says on the pasuk v'shafach es dama v'chiso ba'ofer and v'yikra yudzayin, that Beis Shammai says that the requirement is specifically ofer with an ayin, and with an aleph, one cannot cover up the dam with the afer. So the Gemara says, aliba de Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, lo tibarlach, there's no shayla. Because Beis Shammai holds Dami lo matzinu Efer shekari Ofer, we never find that the Efer is called Ofer. Kiti Barlach, when do we have the Shaila? Aliba de Beis Hillel, we have a question according to Beis Hillel. The Omar batzinu Efer shekari Ofer, who's of the opinion that there are times that Efer is called Ofer with an ayin. Over, according to him, we have a Shaila. What's the Shaila? If Efer and Ofer is interchangeable, might. Avagav de Ikri Ofer, even though when it comes to Kisui Adam, one can cover the blood of a bird or a chaya with ash, as well as with dirt. Hacha b'karka mishrinksiv. Over here, the Torah says specifically that it needs to be done from the Karka Mishkan. There's no ash in the Mishkan. That's part of the dirt, the earth of the Mishkan. Of course, it's only dirt. Oh, the more maybe. No, we still have a shaila. Hi, bekarka mishkan lekedi Isi ben Yehuda ukedisi ben Menachem udasu. We mentioned that according to Isi ben Yehuda, the emphasis of karka mishkan is not to tell us that it needs to come from the actual mishkan itself. Even if it doesn't come from the actual mishkan itself, it will also be acceptable, as well as according to Isa ben Menachem. So according to them, what would one say in this regard? We say that Ofer and Afer then is interchangeable. Then the Gemara Shaila is, do we follow Isi ben Yehuda or Isi ben Menachem or not? Is there another bright? So this is brought out in the Sefer Mincha Sota, that the Gemara Shaila is, do we follow the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda and Isi ben Menachem? And if we would, then in such a case, there's no reason to believe that there's Xeris HaKosov that has to come specifically from Karka Mishkan, and then Ofer and Afer would be interchangeable. Or do we say that no, the Karka Mishkan is telling us specifically the Ofer of the Mishkan, and therefore even Beis Hillel would be Moda that over here it needs to come specifically from the Ofer. The Gemara continues, Tashma, come in here, I'll bring you a proof, 10 lines from the top. Damar Rabbi Yochanan Shmuel Bishmol B'shlosh Mekomos Halacha Okeves Mikra. The Gemara tries an interesting proof. Tashma, come in here, I'll bring you a proof. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. B'shlosha Mekomos Halacha Okeves Mikra. There are three places that the Torah undermines the pasuk. Here, the word Okeves probably comes from the similar root of where Esav says, Vayakveni Zeh Pamayim, that he outsmarted me. He, as Rashi explains, it circumvents it, and it undermines the pasuk. HaTorah Amra Ba'ofer V'alacha B'chol Dover. The Torah says that when it comes to Adam, it's supposed to be done Ba'ofer, and yet the halach is that you could use all type of things, as we saw, that at least ash is acceptable. Bitar, when it comes to a Nazir, it says a Nazir is not allowed to shave his hair with a razor. V'halacha B'chol Dover, and the halach is that he needs to use no implement on his hair. He's not allowed to cut his hair at all. HaTorah, the third place in regards to get, it says, because I've lost Sefer Krisus, that he writes her a book of Krisus. Sounds like a very, very particular type of paper and book that's used. V'alocha b'chol dover, and halacha is that you're allowed to use anything. It's allowed to be written on all types of material, even leaves and so on and so forth, provided, as the Gemara discussed in Gittin Yudtes, that it's no longer attached to the ground. V'imisa, and if you held that the halacha is that when it comes to mesota, it not only is brought from afar, that not only afar is added to it, but as well one could add ash also. V'choshev nami, let us include that as well. This is another place where the Torah says bekarka and hamishkan, and it turns out, and afar, it even says mina afar, sheye bekarka hamishkan, and yet the halacha is, according to this opinion, that you're allowed to use other things. So this should be another example of B'shlosha Mekomos Halacha Okeves Mikra. Answers the Gemara. Ton of Ishir. We learned some and we left over. This is a common teretz that the Gemara gives in many places, and that is that the Braisa is not exhaustive, that there are other examples, even though they're not mentioned in the Braisa. However, there's a rule. Whenever you say that the Braisa is not exhaustive, you need to prove that the Braisa is not exhausted. How do you prove it? By giving it another example where the halacha is the same, yet the Braisa does not mention it. And that's called Umay Shayer Dehay Shayer. And what was left over already that you feel comfortable today that the list is not exhaustive? If you could prove to me the list is not exhaustive, so then fine, then there's no proof. But if you can't find a particular case, and this is the only case, so then it's hard to say that the Braisa was ton of a shir. You need to prove that this is one of those examples of shir. My shire the high shire. So answers the Gemara, shire mitzaira. Mitzaira is what's left over. The sanya we learned in the Braisa, it says in the pasuk in regards to mitzaira, valya, but yomashvi galchas kol sarop. Mitzaira has his hair cut. Now, what hair exactly needs to be cut? Here, the drush, the Gemara gives a famous drush of klal pratu klal, and that is the klal is vayoba yomashvi galachas kol saro. That's all the hair. That's the klal. Sounds like the general hair. Droshav ezikinov eskabos einov. It then says the head, the beard, and the eyebrows. Prat. That's the prat. Veskol sa yigaleach, chazav eklal. Klal katu klal upratu klal. So we have is a klal pratu klal. Iatadon elakeina prat. So then the halacha is you only do the prat. This is a famous rule. We say this in Yugimel Midos every morning from Rabbi Yishmael, and that is if you have a klal, prat to klal, you have a rule, then the Torah specifies, and then again says the rule, so then that's coming to tell you that the only thing that it applies to is the prat. Ma prat mefarish, mokum kina seyar venira, just like the prat talks about something where the hair comes together and it is seen, av kol mokum kina seyar venira, it only applies, the only hair that's cut off is hair that is seen, and it grows together. There is a significant amount of hair over there. My Rabbi, what is that coming to include? Rabbi Ser Haraglayim. It's coming to include Ser Haraglayim, which is a euphemism for pubic hair. My Miyet, what is it coming to exclude? Miyet Debeis HaShechi, Udekule Gufe. It's coming to preclude hair that is under the arms and the rest of the body. The reason why hair under the arms would be different than pubic hair. While one could say that pubic hair as well, it's a kal vachomer, that it's not ofen gilui, it's not nira. The answer is that if the body would be looked at as is, in his birthday suit, the way he was born, so then in such a case that would be begolui, in contrast to the underarms, so then in such a case that's not begolui. V'ilchasa migaleach kidlas. And the halacha is that his hair is shaved entirely like a gourd. In other words, he's entirely shaven. Disnan, as we learned in Mishnah, Bala Lahakim Sasara, Mazir Tar al Kol Besaro. Uktani Seifo, Bayomashvi Megalachal, Tegalachashni, Kedalachas Rishana. The pasuk that the Mishnah we had called Bala Lahakim is the first time the Masorah is shaved, at the beginning of the 7 days, as well as at the end of the seven. He's also shaved and his entire body. And what do you see? Over there, the halacha l'moshe misinai is okeves the mikra. The mikra seemed to say that there were parts that don't have to be shaved. And we paskin that everything has to be shaved. So now we've got our ton of ishir, that there are other examples that are left over that is okeves the mikra. Hence, we could suggest that even though the mikra says afar, that afar as well is going to be acceptable. And the fact that there are other examples in a brisa that of halacha keves mikra, and the example of afar mesota is not brought down, that's not a kasha, because when it comes to mitzora as well, we have the same halacha, and it's not mentioned as well. So the brisa's list are not exhaustive. Says the Gemara, no, I don't like your raya. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, 5 lines from the bottom, ki kachoshiv halacha keves mikra. Those cases that were mentioned in the Braisa, those 3 cases are mamish, where the halacha l'moshe misinai, there was a halacha l'moshe misinai that tells us not to follow the literal eating of pasuk. Ha, o keves midrabanan. However, over here, in the case of the Mitzora, that is a din drabanan. And since it's a din drabanan, so that's why it's not mentioned in the Braisa. So, then we are back to our original question, and that is that when it comes to the case of afar, if one is going to say that afar is acceptable, then that is an example of halacha keves mikra, and then one can ask, why is it not mentioned in the brisa that we had from Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, which gave only 3 examples and did not give this example. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa answers. Another reason, aside from the rejection of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Papa says, I have another reason that this would not qualify as a case of Tana Vishir from Mitzora. Ki kachosh v'alocha okeves v'okeres. What is the brisa from Rabbi Shmuel quoting? Case of okeves v'okeres, where it's oker the din. Ha, okeves u'mosef. This is an example of something that's okev and mosef. It's not undermining that which the Torah says. The Torah says that you need to do galachas. You might have thought that it's limited, not over the whole body. Kamash malon, that it is. In contrast to where you have the cases in the Rabbi Yishmael, let's say take the Nazir case, that the Torah says tar, and here we're oker, and we say, no, you don't have to do it with a tar. You could do it with everything else. That's okeves voker. So that's another reason you can't go to the case of taglachas by a mitzora and say that it was sheer. And since you can't say it was sheer, then you're going to go back to our case of Sota and say that you have to take the pasuk literally. It has to be done specifically from Ofer. Two lines from the bottom. Rav Ashi Amar, Hamasnisa Mani Rabbi Shmuel Hi. There's no Okeres at all over here. There are two opinions. And that is that there's one opinion that says that a Matzor needs all of his bodily hair removed, and there's another opinion that says that it doesn't. So the Braisa, when it doesn't mention it, is not being Tana Vashir. It's going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Hamasnisa Mani Rabbi Yishmael, the Dorish Klal Prat. That Rabbi Yishmael holds that we're Dorish only the Klal Prat.
If we're darshing a Klal Prat, if that's your opinion,
then the halacha would dictate that what should be done is only the parts of the body that are together, makom kinasei or venira.
However, kidelas mani, there's a totally different opinion out there that says that he's supposed to be shaved clean like a gourd. That's Rabbi Akiva, the darsh ribuya mute, and the Gemara will bring this out. If that's so, if Rabbi Akiva disagrees, so then what emerges is the following. We have no case of the Torah telling us one thing and the Halacha Moshe Misinai telling us something else when it comes to Mitzorah. Really, when it comes to Mitzorah, there are two different opinions of how to read the Psukim. We have Rabbi Shmuel's way of the Psukim, and that is that you leave over the bodily here, and there's no Halacha Moshe Misinai changes that. And you have Rabbi Akiva, we're about to bring out, who says that we're Dorish Ribuye Umiute. And therefore, there is no halacha Moshe Misina that undermines as well. And that's why it's not mentioned one of these three of the brice of Rabbi Yishmael. If that's so, so then again, we have no precedent of a case of Okeves where you have the halacha Moshe Misina redefining and undermining and changing the pasuk itself as some had suggested. One side of the Gemara had suggested applies also to offer sota. That doesn't only mean offer, it would mean other things as well. We had a brisa which said from Rabbi Yishmael that there are only three instances, and there's no proof whatsoever that the brisa left anything out, and if it didn't leave anything out, so then that means that when it comes to mincha sota as well, offer means offer, and the only cases where we have a halacha o keres are in those three instances of the brisa. What exactly is Rabbi Akiva's opinion about the ribuy and miut? So here the Gemara continues on the top of Tezayin on the base. This sanya, as we learned in a brayse of Ahoyah Bayom Ashvini Galachas Kosa Arav. Riba. You have a ribuy where the Torah says on the seventh, all the hair. Es Rosh Hashanah Zekanov Es Gabos Enov Miut. Then you have a miut. Ves Kosa Arav Yigaleachot Riba, Riba Miut. Riba, miut, viriba. So we have a ribuy and a miut, which comes after a ribuy. How you darshan ribuy, miut, ribuy? It goes the following way. Riba kol. Everything has been included. My riba, riba de kule gufa. It's coming to include the entire body. All the body needs to get cut. As we saw, it has to be cut kidilas. My miut. And then there's a miut. The miut is telling us, miut seyar shebetoch hachotem, that the hairs inside of the nose don't have to be cut. When one uses a klal prat and klal, ribuy, miut, and ribuy is a little bit confusing. The difference between a klal prat and klal and a ribuy, miut, ribuy is the following. Klal prat and klal comes to tell us that we only use the prat, and therefore there is nothing that's being expanded. Ribuy, miut, and ribuy uses a ribuy. It uses the ribuy and expands, and then it looks for one particular thing to be memayit. If one is bothered, when does one say klal prat and klal? When does one say ribuy, miut to ribuy? We have not explained that at all. Take a look at Rashi and Sukkah on Nun Amud Beis, but for Dafyomi purposes, it is okay if we leave it that this is a machlokis of whether we say riba, miut, ribuy, or klal prat and klal. So what was our bottom line? That we have a machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, whether there is a klal prat to klal in the pasuk of Yom HaShvi'i Galachas Kol Saro, which leads us to the following machlokes, and that is, do we say that the entire body's hair needs to be cut except for its nose hairs, as is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, or only those things with a lot of hair growing at one place, as well as it's nira when the body is looked at, when there's no clothing, then in such a case, those body hairs need to be cut. Other body's hairs do not be cut. Do not need to be cut. And ultimately, the reason why
the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael does not mention the case of halacha va'okeves as one first thought would apply also to Metzorah, where not all the body here seem to need to be cut by the pulse to get the halacha Moshe Sinai says that you do, is because that Braisa is simply going according to Rabbi Akiva, when we taught that the halacha is everything needs to be cut. In contrast to the Braisa of the three, that is Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael Lishita also does not hold that everything needs to be cut, and therefore it's not an example of halacha v'okeves. May have Allah, says the Gemara. 7 lines from the top. Tashma dam ravuna barashi amarav ein sham efer mevi rak bubis yarak umikadish. You bring a vegetable that has fallen off of a tree and has begun to disintegrate, has begun to rot. And then you are mekadesh it for the mei sota. What emerges? What emerges is that a decomposed vegetable can be used as well. Wait a second. If you held that offer as literal, then in such a case, then you should not be able to use this vegetable. Says the Gemara Velohi. That's not a very good proof. Rakbuv is yaraku davoy offer. Efer lo have offer. A decomposed vegetable is considered like dirt. It's what's today referred to, I believe, as composite. That anything that comes from the ground that decomposes is once again becomes dirt. However, afer as lo have afer is not considered dirt. We learned in the Mishnah that the halacha is that the water that's supposed to be put, it has to be kedesh yeroe al hamayim. Rashi over there describes that the Mishnah's intention is that it should be enough dirt that would be seen in the water itself. Says the Gemara, 10 lines on the top, Tan Rabban, Shosha Tzrichin Sheyeroh. There are 3 things that when they're done, need to be seen. Offer Sota, the dust of the Sota, the dirt needs to be seen in the water. Ve'efer Para, we know that the Para Aduma is ash is put inside, needs to be able to be seen when it's in the water. Ve'rok Yivama, and the spit of the Yavama who's doing Chalitza also needs to be seen. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, Aftam Tzipa. Rabbi Shmuel taught that also the blood of the bird from the Metzorah, that we know that the carbon of the Metzorah has a bird that is slaughtered in a Kli Cheres Al Mayim Chaim, which we mentioned in the previous Dapim, that also needs to be seen in the water. My time to Rabbi Shmuel. What's the rationale for Rabbi Shmuel who adds dam tzipor? The pasuk then says that the subsequent things, the eight eras, the shni tolas, and the ezav that are dipped into the water, mayim chayim, are described as being dipped into dam tzipor. So it has to be something that is b'tanya b'dam yochol b'dam v'lo b'mayim. I would have thought it means only the dam tamalomer b'mayim. Also speaks about the water. Rashi points out that the correct girsa is not the girsa that we just read that was in front of us, bimayim, but rather mayim, because the pasuk says, es hatzipor achai yudalet vav in vayikra, es hatzipor achai yikach osov es etzo erz veshni atlas veso izov, vitoval osov es tzipor achai yo bidam hatzipor hashchuta ala mayim chayim. So it went into mayim chayim. It doesn't mean the girsa should not be, as Rashi points out, Bidam or Bimayim, but rather should be Mayim. On the one hand, the dam needs to be Nikar because it's called Bidam Atzipar, yet at the same time it's Mayim. Asks the Gemara, Imayim Yochol Bimayim Velo Bidam. If it's going to be in the Mayim, then it should be specifically the Mayim and not the dam. How do we know it's supposed to be both? The Talmud Lomar, we also said Bidam Atzipar, that's also supposed to be done in the dam. Talmud Lomar Bidam. Okay, so how do you do it? It's a contradiction, either in the Mayim or in the Dam. Maybe Mayim Shadam Tzipor Nikar Ben, as we already spelled out. He brings water where the Dam Tzipor is obvious. V'kama Revius, and how much of it is it? It's a Revius. If this is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, the Rabbanan disagree. Rabbanan, how are the Rabbanan going to read the Pasuk? It seems to be that the Pasuk is telling us that you're supposed to have both the Dam Tzipor at recognizable as well as the Mayim. V'tavol olsam es atzipor achai b'dam atzipor, the pasuk said, hashkut al mayim chayim. So the chura, you need that recognizable as well. So how are they going to read the pasuk? Ahu legufei dachi kamerachmana. According to the Rabbanan, the pasuk is not telling you the appearance of the water. There's no indication that it's telling you that the water needs to be specifically one that's clearly abroad, but rather, says the Gemara, Ahu legufei dachi kamerachmana, it bo b'damu b'mayim. The Torah is telling us for itself that's got to be in something that's dam b'mayim. Exactly the color, that itself we're not going to learn. Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel going to say? The actual hora is simply to put in water, but who said it needs to be that the dam is nikar? Rabbi Shmuel, im kein lichta rachmana v'taval b'hem. The Torah should say v'taval b'hem. B'damu b'mayim l'amalim l'nikar. It says specifically b'damu b'mayim to tell us that the dam needs to be nikar. Rabbanan, ikas rachmana v'taval b'hem hava mina ha'ilichudei v'ha'ilichudei. If it had just said v'tavol behem, then we would have thought that you dip the ezov into blood and you dip the ezov into mayim. You never mix the two. Kas rachmana b'damu b'mayim la'arvon. B'damu b'mayim tells you to mix together. Rabbi Shmuel la'arvon, krachina k'siv. La'arvon we know from a different pasuk. V'shachat es ha'tzipor ha'achas. That you shech the tzipor ha'achas. The fact that the blood was mixed together, says Rabbi Shmuel, that we already know from the pasuk v'shachad es ha'tzipor ha'echos aklicheres ha'mayim chayim. The Torah told us already that the shechita takes place into the water. So of course, there the blood and the water are going to be mixed together. V'rabbanan, what will the Rabbanan say back to that? Why do we need another pasuk? After all, we already know that they're mixed together. Says the Gemara, imahu, if it would just be that havamina. That the two should be slaughtered next to each other. Do the shechita next to a utensil. And pinch the veins where the blood comes out. And prevent in the initial moments after the slaughter for the blood to fall in. Prevent the blood from falling into the water. And accept the dam in a different utensil. So if you just had the pasuk that you do the slaughtering over the water, we would not have known that the blood actually mixes in the water. So hence we need the pasuk, says Rabbi Yishmael, a separate independent pasuk to tell us v'taval b'mayim. Therefore the Rabbanan say, excuse me, not Rabbi Yishmael, but the Rabbanan say that you need a separate pasuk to tell us that they are mixed together, and the pasuk of v'shachat al-mayim chayim is not going to be enough. Kamash malon, that's why we need all of those psukim. So what emerges to summarize is, we have machlokis between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yishmael, that Rabbi Yishmael says that the halacha is that the dam needs to be nikar, when it comes to Mitzorah, while the Rabbanan disagree. However, when it comes to Minchas Sota, as well as Efer Parah and Rok Yevamah, then everybody agrees that it needs to be seen. We are now 20 lines from the bottom. First we're in line V'lekablei, we're at the end of the line, Boi Mine Reb Yirmiyah Mi Reb Zera. Reb Yirmiyah asks a fascinating question, which Reb Zera is not so impressed by. What happens if you have a large bird and it pushes away the water? Rashi explains what it means, that pushes away the water. L'dchot means to push. That's not obvious, that's water at all. It looks like it's entirely blood because it's such a large bird. Ketana, remember, we had an opinion in the Mishnah that says all you need is a revius of water. So if there's so much blood, then it wouldn't be noticeable at all that it was water. You would think everything was blood, not even know that a revius of water had been added. What about the inverse, asks Rabbi Yirmiyah. Similarly, ketana v'nitcheis mepnei ha'mayimau. What happens if it's so small that it's not significant, the blood that falls in is not significant at all? Amar lei, Rabbi Yirmiyah is responded to by Rav Zera. Lav amina l'kacha. Lo tafik nafshecha lebar mihilchasa. So I already told you, it's a very sharp response that Rabbi Zera gives him. He says, don't take yourself outside of the halacha. Rashi explains, don't start asking on all of the words of the Chachamim, because the Chachamim have everything worked out.
we're talking about a wild bird, and the Rabbanon already estimated, Ein lecha gedola shemadecha sasamayim, Ein lecha ktana shenitches mipnei amayim. You won't have a bird that's too large that will push the water away, and not too small that will push, that the blood will push the water away. It is interesting to note, I did not look around in the Svarim, but it is interesting to note that Rabbi Yirmiya is a very famous Rabbi Yirmiya of asking outlandish questions. I was not aware that here in Sota we have another example of Rabbi Yirmiya asking outlandish questions. The Gemara in Bava Basra, if I'm not mistaken, describes Rabbi Yirmiya asking an outlandish question of, he asks, what would halacha be if you have a dove that one leg of it is standing within the reshus of one owner, a dove where there is a discussion of who it belongs to, so he's within the dovecote, one foot is within the reshus of the owner of a dovecote, the other foot is out. And the Gemara describes that Rabbi Yirmiya kicked out of the Beis HaMedrash for asking that question. It seems as well that here Rabbi Zeira is very, very tough on Rabbi Yirmiya as well, and he's saying you're being maharer after the shiurim of the Rabbanan. It could be that this Gemara would shed light on that Gemara, because this Gemara expels out why Rabbi Zeira is not happy with him. Tafik nafshecha levar mihilchasa. And Rashi explains he was really being maharer after the shiurim. That Gemara is in Bavla Basra on Chav Gimel Amibayz, this description of Rabbi Yirmiya. And it could very well be that the Gemara, I was always bothered, you know, in the yeshivas, they tend to learn Nashim and Ezekin, so sometimes you're exposed to the Gemara in Bava Basra more than the Gemara in Sota. So here, this Gemara in Sota might shed more light on that Gemara in Bava Basra and Chav Gimel on the Beis. And it could very well be that based on what Rashi says, that what Rabbi Yirmiya was doing was questioning the Shiur of the Chachamim. So for that reason, Rabbi Zeira is critical with him. It could very well be as well in the Gemara of Bava Basra, because first class, Rabbi Yirmiya is just asking another halachic shah. There is a lot of literature on this. We are not quoting it. You could take a look at Tosvos over there in Chav Gimel Amid Beis in Dibra Maskel Va'aldo that tries to explain why Chazal Mamish kicked him out of the Beis Merish. That's a pretty heavy thing. Why they kicked him out of the Beis Merish for this question. Tosvos might be relevant to the explanation that we just gave based on our Gemara in Sota on Daf Tezayin Amid Beis. Let's continue on, Be'ezer Hashem, with the Gemara. The Gemara now raises a new Shiloh, which is a Machlokis Tanoim. We had learned that there is Mayim that is brought, and then the offer is put inside. What happens if the order is reversed? Tana Rabbanan, 12 lines from the bottom, Hikdim Offer LeMayim Posel. If the dirt is put into the water first, the Tanakhama says they are Posel. Rabbi Shimon says that it is kosher. The Gemara will give the rationales, both of the Rabbanan of the Tanakhama, who say that going inverting is possible, and Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees. My time, Rabbi Shimon, the Siv, Alachu Latome, Me Efer Sreifa Sechatos. When it comes to the Paraduma, this is not the Pasuk by Sota, but rather in Bamidbar Yutes, in Parshas Chukas, we have the Parsha of the Paraduma, and there it says they'll take the Afar, the dirt of the Sreifa Sechatos, and they'll put in Mayim Chaim El Keli. V'tanya, we learned in a braisa. So, Amr B'Shem, V'chim Afaru, V'aloi Eferu. Is it dirt? Is it ash? So the Gemara says, Shina Akosuv. The Torah switched it because it's contradictory. Some places, like in this pasuk, it says the dirt by the Paradum. We already spelled out that it's supposed to be ash. Why did the pasuk, which it said earlier in the pasuk, so why did the pasuk all of a sudden here speak about it as offer? Something that jumps out at you when you're reading the pasuk. So Chazal already dealt with it. V'nemar lahalon afar. Just like when it comes to Paradum, it says afar. Also, of course, it says by Sota afar. Malahalon afar agabe ma'im. Just like when it comes to Sota, it's clear that the correct order is first to have the water and then to have the dirt. Afkan afar agabe ma'im. So too over here by Afer of Paraduma, it's supposed to be in that order. Umakan hiktim afar lemayim kosher. And just like when it comes to the Mechatas, if you invert the order, the halacha is that it is kosher. The Gemara in a moment will explain the source that if you do it inverted for chatos, for the paraduma, the halach is that's going to be kosher. So too over here, afla halan, so too when it comes to minchasota, hiktam afra lamayim, it's going to be kosher. This is the rationale of Rabbi Shimon. Ask the Mara, wait, where did Rabbi Shimon know that when it comes to paraduma, inverting is going to be kosher? V'hasaminal, and where do you know it from there? Answers the Gemara, Trei Koi, there are two psukim that Rabbi Shimon has to play with. Ksiv Olav, it says in regards to the paraduma, V'nosan Olav, you put on it, Alma Efer Bereisha. So that means that first you put the Efer. That's what the pasuk says. V'lochu latame me Efer, V'nosan Olav, you put on the Efer, Mayim Chayim. So what's first? First is the Efer. Alma Efer Bereisha. Ksiv Mayim Chayim El Kli. Alma Mayim Bereisha. Yet at the same time, it says the Mayim Chayim is put on Kli. Now, if you already put the Efer, and it's not just being put on the Kli, it's being put also on the Efer. So why doesn't it say, V'nosav Mayim Chayim Ala Efer Bikli? So there are two contradictory psukim. Alma Mayim Bereisha. Ha-Ketzad, Ratza Zenoisen, Ratza Zenoisen. That you could do it in either order. The psukim are in potentially contradictory to allow for both possibilities. Rabbana and the Rabbana disagree. El Kli Dafko. It says, V'nosan Olav Mayim Chayim El Kli. It has to be done in that particular matter. It seems that they're darshaning the El Kli. This is the way that it goes into the Kli, the way above. And that is that you first put in the offer. Olav, the Pasuk also said, V'nosan Olav Mayim Chayim. So the Rabbanan who disagree with Rav Shimon says La'arvon. It's coming to tell you to specifically mix it up. Now the Gemara just wants to clarify three lines from the bottom within the sheet of the Rabbanan. Ve'ema Olav Dafka. Maybe Olav is telling you the particular order. El Kli Shetehe Chiyusan Bikli. And coming to tell you a particular halacha. El Keli, that's the same Kli that it got its Chiyus from. What does that mean? That maybe there's a Chiyus that you have to use the exact same Kli which drew the Mayim Chaim from the fountain. So the Gemara says, Ma matzinu b'chol mokom machshir l'mala, afkan machshir l'mala. Just like the halacha is that the machshir, that is the offer, that is machshir the mayim, is put above the mayim. So too, over here, the pasuk of El Keli is coming to tell us that the machshir is supposed to be specifically l'mala. And Olav would therefore be coming to tell you that you're supposed to mix them. Because it was put lemala, and the halacha yusam bikli is not learned from this pasuk. We had in the Gemara on Tezayin Amid Aleph that an eishes ishta zinsa is called tuma chamura. And we pointed out that it could very well be that tuma is specifically because of the fact that she had trespassed the sanctity of the Nisuin, and in that way the Gemara equates it to someone who trespasses the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. If you listen back, we had pointed out that it could be that we cannot compare it to the halachos of Tumah B'Shogeg, but rather specifically in regards to Tumah B'Mezid of trespassing the Kedusha of the marriage. This actually has a fascinating application in the Shailos U'Tshuvos. Obviously, shilas like these are way beyond our scope to deal with, but just to bring out this point, is a shilas u'tshuvas ma'arik, which is quoted in Eben Ezer Simin Kufayin Ches. The ma'arik discusses what happens if a woman was mezaneh, and she thought that it was permissible to do it. She thought that the Torah does not prohibit her to be mezaneh. This is a tshuvas ma'arik in Kuf Samaches. It's the Ramah in Eben Ezer Kuf Ayin Ches, our Simonim in Hilchos Sota, found in the Ramah in Simin Kuf Ayin Ches, Siv Gimel, where the Ramah writes, of course, a woman that's Mizana is Asura Labaila, says the Ramah, Gedola Shezinsa B'Shogeg, Shesavra Shebalahu, she thought that she was living with her husband, Vuhacher, and it turns out, Chas V'Cholila, somebody else, Muteres Labaila Yisrael, she then is not prohibited to her husband.
Aval zinsha sheshavas mutter lezinsa havikim azida vasur lebayla Yisrael. So if she thinks as her husband, then the two of them are still, the husband and wife are permissible. However, if she thinks that the scope of this, of course, is beyond our ability right now, although maybe when we discuss krisus, where the sugya comes up, we could discuss it. But the halacha is that if she thinks that it's mutter to be mezana, then she's going to still be asura lebailo yisrael. What is fascinating is that Marik says, yes, if she makes a mistake in the halacha, then she's going to be asura lebailo. What happens if she doesn't think that she's creating a trespass with her husband? The Marik has the following argument. The Marik says the trespass of adultery that makes a woman usher to her husband is the following. As long as she's aware that she's doing a trespass against her husband, then she's going to be asura labaila. Even if she thinks that the halacha says that it is permissible, it doesn't matter. She knows that she's trespassing the relationship. She's trespassing the kedusha of marriage. She's aware of it. Even if she doesn't know there's a pasuk that prohibits it, if she's aware of it, then she's going to be prohibited. There is an absolutely fascinating case in the Aruch Laner, in Shailos Uchuvos Binyan Tzion, such a tragic case, Simin Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Hei, where the Aruch Laner in the Binyan Tzion discusses a case in where a man manipulated a woman and told her that it was a mitzvah. He was Eliyahu HaNavi, that he would, the psychopath, had told her that if they were mezaneh, then in such a case that would bring the geula. So she was doing it, Hashem Yirachem L'Shem Shemayim. If one could say that in such a case, she didn't at all believe that she was being ma'ala, she thought she was doing her husband a favor. So there the B.N.C.M. plays that according to the Marik and others, that's found in Shulchan Aruch, the Marik is a Kula and a Chumra. The Kula is that if she does not think for whatever reason she's trespassing her husband, so then in such a case, maybe according to Marik, she's permissible to the Bible. On the other end, if she thinks that the Bible permits it, but she knows that it's immoral, the Marik says she's going to be Asura. This is actually discussed. This Shaila is discussed as well in contemporary poskim by Rav Yoshev in Chelek Aleph of the Kovetz Chuvitz Simin Kuf Sadi Beis. This is our first halacha that emerges from the Gemara, which we also use in terms of pshat, in terms of understanding the equation between the tumah of Eishes Ish, that it's the way we're being mechadesh, is that it's trespassing the sanctity of marriage, which is similar to someone who's tameh, who trespasses the place of the Makom HaMikdash. One should go back over there and see how we used it to answer the question of the Mincha Sota. Of course, at the end of the day, this is Lahagdil Toru La'adira, and just a way of sharpening the pshat of the Gemara and showing a fascinating halacha l'maisa application. Second topic, Be'ezer Hashem, of halacha that emerges from our daf. Topic number two, Be'ezer Hashem, Adaf Tezayin, is a topic that is a corollary to one we had discussed on Daf Tezvah. That is the status of water whose color has changed this time in regards to Netilas Yadayim. Last time we had spoken about mikvah. The Gemara on Tezayin Amud Beis had told us that when it comes to the slaughtering of the bird of a metzora, so there it's supposed to be done into water. And the Gemara tells us that about 20 lines from the top, maybe mayim shadam tzipar nikar bahen. And that is, according to some, a revius. It's 1/4 of a lug, the shear that we use for a kos of kiddush as well, in order that the water be recognizable, be water. On the other hand, that it should be recognizable that it is the blood of a bird. Too much, then it wouldn't be recognizable that there's blood. Too little, then it wouldn't be recognizable that it was once water. Ask Tosis and Dibra Maskel Mevi that this seems to contradict a halacha in Meseches Mikvot. And that is, it seems for our Gemara that we're assuming that blood would not be recognizable within a quarter of water. Ask Tosfos from Perek Zayin Mikvot Mishneh, as well as a famous sugi in Makos Andav Gimel Mebeis, that if one has Gimel Lugim of Mayim, which is quite a bit more than a Revius, we're talking about a couple of gallons, approximately. So then, if you have a gimel logim of mayim, that you have a small amount of wine falls into it, and the wine's color affects it, so then the halacha is that it's considered wine, and hence pasul for identity of water. At the same time, though, it would no longer be a problem if that water is mayim she'uvim, because it's no longer considered water, it's considered wine. Asks Tosfos, but wait a second, what do we have over there in mikvos? In mikvos, we see that even smaller amounts of, larger amounts of water can still be transformed if you have wine falling into the water. And certainly, asks Tosfos, when it comes to blood, which is thicker, so certainly you should be able to use more than just a revius of water, and that should be enough. Answers Tosfos that over here what we're talking about is not simply a change of appearance. If you remember yesterday, we discussed as well that it could very well be, when it comes to shinui mare, it's not enough for it simply to be a change of appearance. But rather, Tosfos says, that it needs to be that it is obvious. It's nikar that it has even the texture, the kamar mamoshoso shel dam. It needs a texture and not simply an external change on the outside. Yesterday we had discussed that that seems to be the halacha as well in mikvos when it comes to the changing of the color of a mikvah. It's not enough that it's dyed, but it has to be a thicker composite that's going to actually, wine can be that, if it's a thick composite which actually affects the mamoshos of the mikvah. Where do we draw the line of mamoshos? That is not our topic for today. However, what we are going to discuss is that this yesod seems to be emphasized in the achronim in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. The simple reading of the Mechaber in Simin Kuf Samach, Sif Aleph, would prohibit many types of water for Netilas Yadayim. The Mechaber writes, Mayim shenishtanu mareyem, water that's color has changed. Now that sometimes happens even when the water has a misty, whitish color, so, and which is very often when it comes out from the tap. So a simple reading of the Mechaber, that would be a problem. Beimach masatzman, even if it's by itself, in other words, there hasn't been an exterior change, or for that matter, as we saw in Tosas, a mamashos change. Beimachmas dover shenafel asochon, beimachmas mikomam psulim. In all those cases, they are posel. The Mishnah Berurah and Siv Beis, this is a collector's item, where almost all the achronim disagree with the Pesach of the Mechaber. Even though the Ramah doesn't disagree, our custom is not like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Ramah makes no mention of the psul, even though it seems to be the language of the Torah. The Rambam makes no mention of this idea that it becomes psul if it's machmas atzmo. If water itself, for whatever reason, based on temperature, based on pressure, based on other factors, the water becomes discolored, doesn't look like its regular color, like we have whitish often, the Rambam says that's okay, as long as it's not due to an exterior factor. If it's not due to an exterior factor, it's going to be fine. So hence, we do not assume that Mayim Sheshtanu Mareyem Bachmas Atzman is going to be possible. Our great Rebbe of Nevensal in his Mishnah Berurah adds that he heard this from Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the following way, that if one has his expressions Mayim Achurin, darkened water, murky water would be the best translation, that comes out of the tap, you don't even have to wait for it. Sometimes you need to wait for it to settle for it to become clear. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that one does not have to wait for it. Presumably, this follows on the heels what the Mishnah Berurah had said, that that is not nishtana machmas davar acher. Hence, one does not have to wait for it to become clear. Maybe we could add that our halacha that we Tosos buttresses this idea, and that is that Tosos says that even if it's an exterior thing, if the change of color is not based on mamoshos in such a clay, it's kosher both for mikvah and for netilas yadayim. Yesterday we discussed in the context of mikvah. Today we see the language of the Shulchan Aruch in terms of netilas yadayim, and what emerges is
that one does not have to worry about a change. Machmas atzmam, machmas dover acher. So then we saw that if it's going to be a change where it's not just simply a dye, but rather there has been a significant other type of liquid that was added, and the mara is a simen, it's a sign that there has been a change, in such a case, then it could very well be possible for Netilas Yadayim, and then a shayla should be asked. This is the sugyot of Das Tezayim.